Okay. Go ahead and grab a seat. I've got a fun little video clip that I want to start off with, so let's watch this and I'll be right back up.
Imagine a church where every member is passionately, wholeheartedly, and recklessly calling the shots.
I have a busy work week, and by the time Sunday rolls around, I'm tired. So how about a church service that starts when I get there?
Can do. When you arrive, we begin.
This guy, he plays by his own rules. We want to find a church where if he starts screaming, we're not the bad guys, right? Come here.
Say no more. If your baby's screaming, you stay seated. The others around you can leave.
You know, financially, Sherry and I don't give a lot to the church, but we'd sure like to know who does.
All right, if you join now, you'll know what every person gives in detail.
When I'm in the church service, can my car get a buff and a wax?
Not just that, but an oil change and a tune-up.
Hey, how about tickets to the Super Bowl?
That's asking too much.
I'm serious. If I'm going to join, I want tickets to the big game.
All right, you join now and we'll get you there.
I like a pony.
Look in your backyard. Me Church, where it's all about you.
You know, contrary to the Bible and even contrary to what Rick Warren, he's the Purpose-Driven Life author's bestseller. The first line, who knows what the first line of his book says? I'll give it to you. Ready? It's not about you. And we believe that. Not in a negative way necessarily, but certainly the whole me church mentality, that is easy to creep into our lives. It's easy to creep into my life that it's about me, that it's about getting my needs met. That's very natural. We all have the flesh, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We are going to talk about this idea of purpose, the purpose-driven life. That's such a good book. And as we conclude our You Asked For It series, questions that you asked, this is a question that I think will be very helpful. Basically, the question I'm going to answer is, what is our purpose in life? Who would like to know that? What are you here for? What are you on this planet for? What reason are you here for? The Bible has something to say about that. And it's pretty clear, and it's all over the Bible. I'm not even going to be able to touch on just a percentage of all the verses that we talk about. What is our purpose? And we all want to know that. I know we do. We truly do. Everybody wants to know why they're here. Even Elvis wanted to know, but you know, the thing is, he was so famous and so rich and so well-known. He had a best-selling album, his greatest hits, after he died. Best-selling album. But he didn't know his purpose. Look what his former wife said, Priscilla. She said, Elvis never came to terms. He never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage, and he wouldn't have to think about it. That's kind of a sad testimony about old Elvis. I mean, if anybody should know their purpose, somebody like Elvis should, but he didn't even know what he was doing on this planet. He didn't know, according to Priscilla, why he was even on this earth. I don't know if he would have had an answer if I said, Elvis, what's your purpose in life? It didn't seem like he would, but he was missing it. The thing is that we don't have to miss it. We don't have to miss it as Christians because God makes it very clear. We have a purpose why we're on this planet. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I'm sure about is that purpose has something to do with us contributing and not just consuming. Not just consuming, but contributing. God put us here for a reason, and that reason is to serve. Here, let me give you some verses. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Here's the reason we're created, to do good works. We were created to do good works. That's very clear, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is why God put us on this planet, was to serve him and to serve people. We're on this planet to do that. Here's another verse. Each of us should use whatever gifts he's received to serve other people. That's the deal. Not to make a lot of money. We're not put on this earth to make money, to get popular, to have lots of power. That's not why we're put on this earth. We're put on this earth to serve other people. And God. We're to serve God. But let me give you a little clue. How do we serve God? I feel like this is really echoing, is it? Or is it just me? No? Here's a little tip for you when it comes to serving. How do we serve God? We sang that song tonight. We want to burn for you. We want to burn out for you. How do we burn out for God? What does that look like? Do we literally light ourselves on fire? What do we do to burn out for God? God, I want to burn out for you. What does that look like? You know what it looks like? Really, what it comes down to practically is it looks like serving other people. To serve God means to serve other people, doesn't it? That's the only way we can serve God. We want to serve God, we need to serve other people. That's the only way you can do it. It says it this way in 2 Corinthians, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul says, I'm put on this planet to serve God by serving people. That's what I'm on this planet for. And this is only the intro. God has put you on this planet to be a servant, and me too. It's what God wants us to do, is to serve other people. And by the way, there are people in this church and our Draper campus as well that are killing it when it comes to serving. They way outserve me. I mean, I know that. I've given up trying to outserve some of those people a long time ago. They're just amazing, and some of you are too. So in one sense, this would be preaching to the choir, but I want to tell you something. We need to be reminded. One of the best things we can do is be reminded. People don't need new information. I'm convinced of that more and more. They need to be reminded over and over about simple truth. This is one of those simple truths. God has called us to be a servant. So how do we do that? Here's how we're going to go about it. We serve other people by watching Jesus' example. Like it says in Matthew, Jesus said, your attitude must be like my own. For I did not come to be served, but to what? Say it with me. To serve. Jesus didn't come to be served. I mean, of all people, he could have been here to be served and demanded to be served. And he didn't. He said, I came to serve. How much more should we? So we're going to look at his example today. Our purpose is to serve like Jesus. And that's our topic tonight, serving. Three keys to serving like Jesus. So I'm going to give you an acronym that spells the word FAT. So I want you to go away tonight knowing how to be a fat servant. A fat, fat, fat servant. All of us. Tonight we're going to be fat. We're going to learn how to serve like Jesus. We're going to look at three things that are going to help us. It's going to be very practical. So let's just pray again. Again, because we need to be reminded of why we're on this planet. Why we're on this planet. So let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for allowing us to remember and be reminded, even in worship, that you've called us here to burn out for you, to be on fire for you by serving God's people. That's how we do it. God, I'm convicted because I want to be a better servant. I can be selfish and in my flesh and think it's all about me. But I'm so thankful, God, that it really, truly isn't. That's not what our church is about. It's not about me. It's about serving and loving. And I thank you for that. Thank you. You said that the greatest will be the servant. You said that in Matthew 23, verse 11. The greatest among you will be the servant. God, I pray that we would all fight to be last. Fight to be the servant, the one who says, let me do that job. I pray that would be it. And I pray that even out of this message, there would be a response to greater service to the saints. I really pray that would happen. And I believe it will. Thank you that you've given us a purpose on this planet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So you have a handout. Pull that out. It's got some blanks so you can follow along. We're going to look at three keys to serving like Jesus. How to be fat. How to be a fat servant. Okay, so here's the first one. Here's how an acronym works. The F in fat is for faithful. You must be faithful. If you want to serve like Jesus, you got to be a faithful servant. Like it says in John 17:4, Jesus says, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Jesus didn't quit. He completed. He didn't get to the end and say, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to check out here. That cross, I don't think that's a good idea anymore. I'm gonna let it go. In fact, he said, God, the Father, he's praying. He said, this is going to be really hard. Would you please take this away from me? This is going to be so hard. And then he said, but not my will, but yours be done. He completed, didn't he? The work. He finished it. God wants us to be faithful, to persevere to the end when it comes to serving. To serving our family, to serving our children, to serving our church, to serving people in our neighborhood, to serving our brothers and sisters in the church. God wants us to be faithful, to complete. To be like Jesus means to complete it. So here's a couple tips on how to be more faithful. Number one, when it comes to being faithful in service, we have to predetermine not to quit. Predetermine not to quit I'm going to serve for maybe, a couple weeks and I'm not going to serve again for a couple years, or I'm done serving that person. They're so selfish. I'm not going to serve them anymore. That can't be our attitude. The Bible says the one thing that required of servants is they be faithful. You need to be faithful and not quit. I think of that as a pastor. And we have so many good examples in our movement of pastors. I think of one man, Herschel Martindale. And the joke for a lot of us that are on this, we're on this committee together. We meet a couple times a year. Our joke is, because he's like, I don't know how old he is now, but the guy, he was old when I got saved, I thought. That's what I thought. And that was 35 years ago. And the guy travels. I mean, he's making trips to the Philippines. He's training pastors. He's discipling guys. He's seeing people say he's all over the world. And our joke is he's ruined retirement for all of us. We can't retire. Because look at Herschel. How could we say, oh, I'm 65 or 70, I'm done. He's, man. And that's the way Jesus was, though. He was faithful. He didn't quit. He determined not to quit. And when I say not quit, I mean even in the little things. When it comes to serving, for instance, in school, don't quit in your school. With your family, don't quit serving. When it comes to Bible reading and prayer, really, you got to see that as serving people around you, serving your family, if you're encouraged in the Lord. Don't quit doing that. You're not going to be able to lead your family or help your family or help your kids as much if you quit in the little things. At work, don't quit. With your friendships, don't quit. In the nursery, don't quit. Making coffee, don't quit. Handing out programs, don't quit. Scooping snow when there's snow out there, don't quit. God will use that. And that's part of your purpose. God has created you for a purpose. And that's to contribute and not to consume, to be a faithful servant. Here's another tip. Understand you'll be rewarded in your service. Now you think, that's kind of a weird point. Well, not really. It's amazing when you read the New Testament, what you'll discover is this idea of service. God and Jesus tie it right back to reward over and over again. And somehow in our minds we think serving for reward as a Christian seems selfish. And in one sense, I guess by definition it could be, but it's an okay kind of selfishness, because look what we see here. God ties our service to reward in heaven over and over again. Just let me give you a couple verses. In Ephesians 6, this is, I think, the verse that Casey shared. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Why? Why should you serve like Jesus? Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does. So God wants us to be rewarded, encouraged and motivated by reward. God wants us to. So it's okay to think, I'm going to serve. This is hard. I don't want to do this. If I'm going to be very honest, there's times I don't even want to come to church. And I'm the pastor. I'll be honest. I'd rather stay at home on a Sunday and watch the Broncos win or lose. It doesn't matter. Just hanging out, watching games. Or just tired or feeling sick or just thinking, I'm done with people. There's times I don't even want to come. But I know, and as I come, I pray. God, oftentimes my exact prayer is, God, help me love people. Tonight, tomorrow morning, God, help me love people. Help me to serve them. Tonight I was thinking about serving. I was thanking God that I'm going to be rewarded because I'm serving you tonight. with this message and reminder how we need to serve. God wants us to be motivated by reward. Why? Because he designed us that way. I just want to camp on that for a second. God designed us to be motivated by reward. Reward in heaven, reward from him. But even in this life, we are oftentimes motivated by reward. I know it's true because I've seen it in my four boys, especially when they're little. On Wednesdays on my day off, I take them out on dates. We get donuts or we go to the dollar movie or we do something fun together. And oftentimes we go to Nickel Case. So I learned about the very nature of man by watching my kids at Nickelcade working for a reward. They get the little tickets, they play the games, and they stack up their tickets, and then they buy, their reward is a toy that usually breaks before you even get home from Nickelcade. So cheap. It's not going to last, but these guys, they work so hard to get enough tickets to buy their reward. God has created us to be motivated by reward. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? Do you think about that? That you will be rewarded. And it's not just little kids. Here's a picture of my older boys last May when we went on a bachelor party for my oldest who got married in May, Joseph. Now they're all, you know, in their 20s and teens and got tattoos and beards and going into the military and they're stinky and they're, you know, they're boys. And look at this little toy has been in Nickelcade ever since my boys were little. They've all been on that little toy when they're little, going up and down, up and down. And then they're getting tickets. They're still getting tickets. And buying stuff. We lined up after we were there. And they're getting their junk. They've learned, though, they buy food now. They mainly get food. But don't miss it. We are motivated by reward. Say that with me. Motivated by reward. It's true. I thought of this as I was preparing. A couple years ago, I was teaching a conference of college students in Des Moines, Iowa. And I stayed with my parents, who live right outside Des Moines. And I was in their guest bedroom. They're getting older, in their 80s. And I stayed with them and got to hang out with them when I wasn't teaching. And I noticed something on my dad's wall of the guest room. It had turned out to be he's got diabetes, his little medical station, and he had some documents out. But there's only one thing on their wall of the guest room. And it was a store-bought, cheap certificate, printed off, certificate paper, with his name handwritten in, and it was taped on the wall. That's the only thing that was on that wall. And the certificate was for, get this, he gave blood. And they gave him a certificate. And he put it on the wall. That struck me. You know why? Because my dad is awesome. He was a star football player in college. He's a veteran of the Korean War. He's a commercial pilot. He got his own commercial pilot's license. I've seen him build houses just by himself, and I was part of it, building our own houses. He is well-respected. He's the hardest worker I know. The dude put a certificate on his wall because he gave blood. Why? Because God created us to be motivated by reward. That's the only reason. It's okay, guys, to be motivated by reward. It'll help you be faithful, and it'll encourage you to serve. Here's another verse that says we're motivated by reward. Listen, Hebrews 6:10 says, he will not forget how hard you have worked for him. How do we work hard for God? And how you have shown your love for him by caring for other Christians. That's how we show our love for God. That's how we serve God, is by serving each other and loving each other. And God's not going to forget. He will reward you. I've got a little phrase that I've had in my mind for years when it comes to heaven. In heaven, everyone's cup will be filled. We'll all be rewarded. There'll be no regret. Everyone's cup will be filled, but some people have larger cups. You will be rewarded according to what you do in the flesh. That is a fact. I want to have a big cup because it gives God more glory. We should be motivated. Martin Luther said it this way, I would not give up one moment of heaven for all the joys and riches of the world, even if it lasted for thousands and thousands of years. He was looking forward to his reward in heaven, and we should too. So let me ask you a question as we finish this point. Are you faithfully serving Jesus by serving others? Are you faithfully serving Jesus, or are you becoming a me church in your heart? It's all about me. Serve me. I'm not going to serve you unless you serve me. Again, I can fall into that. I'm going to challenge you, though, that even in this church, there's opportunities for you. Let me point out to this. Pull this out of your bulletin. This is your action point. I want this filled out before the end of my message and hand it in. Hopefully, this is your action point. Pull this out. Don't just look at me like, I'm not going to do that. No, pull it out. It doesn't hurt. Just pull it out. You got one. This church has lots of opportunities. It takes 20 to 25 people each weekend. Listen, 20 to 25 people each weekend to serve so you can come in here and enjoy the message and worship. 20 to 25 people every weekend. Okay, and you have a 1 month on, 2 month off service format. So here's some needs. I asked Pastor Josh to tell me what needs you have in this church. There are needs. You have an opportunity to earn reward by serving in this church. If you're not serving right now, I want to challenge you to consider checking this off. Doesn't mean you're going to be serving for the next 10 years. It just means when you turn that in, they'll contact you and answer any questions you have and see if you want to do that. Do this. Fill it out and turn it in before you leave. Okay, amen? This is your action point. It's very simple. It's obviously goes right along with what I'm talking about. It allows you to faithfully serve Jesus by serving other people, okay? And it takes a lot of people. You know, I did a quick survey, and in all four of our services, our Rock Church services, this weekend, get this, it will take 125 people, individual people that make all four services work. That is 375 people, names that we have in serving slots to make all our services happen because we have a 3 month rotation. So a whole month of 125, another whole month of 125, and a whole another month of 125 people that serve in the Rock Church, and most of them do it so faithfully and so cheerfully, it blows me away. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, so let's go to point number two. The F in fat is for faithful. The A is for available. We must be available if we're going to serve like Jesus. Must be available. I like the example of Jesus in Matthew 20. It says, there were two blind men that were crying out. They shouted out when Jesus was walking past. They started shouting at him, Jesus! Have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped. Don't miss that. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. I love that. You know, I've been to Israel 3 times, and I love walking where Jesus walked, but someone has suggested that maybe it's more valuable to stop where Jesus stopped. And here, he stopped. He was available for two blind men that, in one sense, he didn't even know. His disciples tried to push him aside, didn't they? Don't bother him. And they yelled all the louder. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? He stopped. And he was willing to be interrupted. This is hard for me. I'm speaking for myself here. This is a hard thing. Because I can get kind of laser beamed. I can get tunnel focused on a project or what I'm doing or where I'm walking to. And I can have blinders on. And I just, if I get interrupted, I can get irritated. Jesus wasn't afraid to be interrupted. I like the verse in Proverbs 3. It says, never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. That's a good verse for me. Because I have a hard time sometimes being interrupted. In fact, this is kind of what's going on in my heart. I won't look at you this way, but sometimes, to be honest, this is what I look like sometimes in my heart if you want help from me. This is what I'm thinking. This is what's going on. I can be this way with my kids. Don't interrupt me when I'm cleaning my garage, with my wife, when I'm working on the computer and she comes in my office. This is my heart attitude that needs to change, by the way. And God has worked on me. But that's basically what I'm saying. I'm not like Jesus when I'm doing this, am I? Jesus was willing to be interrupted. And if we're going to be a servant like Jesus, we're going to be fat, we need to be faithful, we need to be available. You know, we need to be like, this is an example I like you, we like to use. We need to be like a librarian, a reference librarian. And what I mean by that is the reference librarian used to be in the 80s, they were Google. They were Google, right? And when I used to work as an engineer in a company, sometimes I had to work the night shifts, and they'd have the radio blasting, and there was a radio station in Fort Collins, Colorado, and they had a trivia contest throughout the night. So they would have three or four trivia questions, you know, what was Darth Vader's middle name or something like that. Josh probably knows. I don't know. But they would have a trivia question, and I would get on the phone right away, and I would call the library. And I would ask the question. And you know what? You know, you'd think they'd get mad. They don't get mad. They're like, oh, this is awesome. Let me find that out, and I'll get right back with you. That's what they did every single time. I'd call them up. They'd get the answer. I'd call the radio station, and I would win junk. I would get a mug or a pen or a flashlight, just a bunch of junk, and I'd win all the time because I knew where Google was. So these guys, they were willing to be interrupted. I don't know if they're putting books away or what they're doing, but they always loved to help. That's what Jesus was like. And that's what we need to be like. We need to be like a reference librarian. Somebody says, can you do this for me? I would love to. I've got people in my church. Whenever I ask them if they can help me, I never doubt. Here's what they usually write back. I would be delighted to. Almost every time. Almost every time. And it just blesses my heart. I want to be more like that. Don't you want to be more like that? Man, it can be hard, though, with our friends, with our parents, with our siblings, with our kids, with our wives, with our co-Christians here. You know, it can be hard. I could name names. I won't, but I've got lots of stories I could tell you about people that serve. I asked my wife. I think she's going to help me this weekend. She puts together the serving schedule for Draper, and it's hundreds and hundreds of people that she has to get volunteers to fill slots. And she works with people all the time. And she has gotten so many, you know, there's some that don't serve quite as cheerfully, but most do. And I said, could you give me some example? Because she's got email after email. She saves them. And I said, of people that are serving cheerfully, like this reference. And she said, yeah. So she just gave me, emailed me some. Here's what some of the people in the Rock Church respond to my wife when she says, hey, I need a nursery worker. I need a helper at coffee. I need a hospitality worker. Here's what people actually wrote. One person wrote, I know I said my work schedule is an issue, so I don't think I could serve, but God has put it on my heart to make serving at church a priority, so I am here to do so. I love that. Someone else said, let me know how I can serve at the Rock. Another person said, I'd love to be in a band, but I'll serve wherever you need me. That's what somebody told my wife. Someone else said, I've been wanting to serve for some time. Thank you so much for asking. That's crazy good. My wife gets really pumped when she gets emails like this. She'll come tell me. Here's another one. Somebody said, I told my wife, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to serve as a teacher! It was so much fun, and even though a bit nerve-wracking, at the end of it all, it was so enjoyable. Let me know when I can serve again. Someone else wrote her, I'm so glad you asked me to serve first as a shepherd, then as a teacher. I didn't think I could do it, and I did, and I never would have if you hadn't asked. I love it so much. Someone else said, of course we'll serve on New Year's Day. We'd be happy to. Isn't that beautiful? Love that spirit. Someone else said, of course I can sub in the morning for you. Happy to do it. And finally, someone said, just let me know if you need me to serve on any other Sundays. That's the kind of people we run with, by the way, at this church. I'm being very honest. I've been doing church work for 35 years and a pastor for 26 years. This is who we run with. This is the spirit of people at the Rock Church. It really is. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir sometimes, but good old John Wesley, he kind of summarizes this section for me. Do all the good you can, he says, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. I think he's probably a good servant, don't you? I've read his biography. He certainly was. So let me just quickly just share with you three quick barriers that you're familiar with that can keep us from serving the way God wants us to, cheerfully and being available and faithful. Here's one barrier, the world or materialism. So we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have all three of those that will keep us and keep me from serving the way I should. And Luke, it says, no servant can serve two masters, speaking of wealth or money and the Lord, serving God or serving money. You can't have two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And I just kind of boil that down to materialism, the stuff that we want, the things that we want. It will create dissatisfaction in our heart. An attitude that says, I need to be happy. If that's our top priority, if that's our goal in life, you will not be able to serve God cheerfully or the way he wants you. You can't do both. If you're serving yourself, what's old Bob Dylan say? You're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord. You're going to serve somebody. He had that right anyway. Brian, you want to do a little Bob Dylan for me up here? No Dylan? No Dylan zone? Okay. Materialism, that will kill your spirit to serve, okay? That's the all about me attitude. Do you guys remember the old L'Oreal ad? What's their little catchphrase? What is it? You are worth it. Yes, indeed. L'Oreal, because you're worth it. You know, even Gandalf with his hair product has kind of gotten into it, you know? You're worth it. We gotta resist the materialistic world, that you're worth it, it's all about you, it's making you happy. You won't be the servant God wants you to be if that's your attitude. Here's the second barrier, the flesh. We all have it. It's selfishness. Matthew 26 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body or the flesh is weak, says Jesus. In Romans 7, Paul gives us the back and forth between the flesh and the spirit. I do the things I don't want to do. My flesh, even though the spirit wants me to do this, I keep doing this and I don't like doing that and I want to do this because we have this flesh. It's a battle, isn't it? What causes addictions? The flesh. There are addictions of the flesh. Our flesh is so hungry and it's so hard to break addictions of the flesh. It's a barrier. Our flesh will keep us from serving God. We need to be, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, we need to beat our body. We need to fight it and resist the fleshly desires that will keep us from serving. It's going to scream. Have you ever tried to fight your body? One way you can fight your body, there's lots of different ways. Just serving someone, being nice to someone, being generous, tithing, fasting is a great way to fight your body. Now, I'm not the greatest faster, but I've fasted a number of times over the years for one day or two or three, or that's about it, usually 3 or 4 days at the most. And when my body is really hungry and I'm maybe away out in the woods at Estes Park, a lot of times I'd go up there and just spend time with God. My body would start screaming. My flesh would scream at me. And you know what I would do? I would scream back at it. And I'm feeling this hunger, and I'm taking prayer walks, and my body's, my stomach's growling. I say, get used to it, body. You're not eating for 4 days here. You're not going to eat. I'm not going to feed you. And I would say that out loud. It looked a little weird. The elk in Estes Park thought I was weird. But we have to fight it. And when we do, God blesses. Listen, you can think that your service is minimal or not making effect. Let me give you a great example of someone who was served that you don't even know about, I don't think, and it blessed and it changed the world. Billy Graham, you probably know his story, but he got saved in 1934 in Charlotte, North Carolina. He went to a revival meeting where Mordecai Ham was the preacher. Him and his buddies went just to kind of make fun of it. They thought they would have a good time. They went. And when they went into the tent, they couldn't find a seat. So they, you know, teenagers that hit each other said, let's get out of here. On the way out, though, one of the ushers saw them, went and grabbed them and said, no, no, come, I got a seat for you. And Billy Graham got saved that night. Who's the hero in the story? Mordecai Ham? No, no, no. Who's going to get a reward? Those faithful servants that died to their flesh and chased one teenage kid out and brought him back in. Who are you chasing out tonight? Who are you bringing in here? Who are you willing to open your mouth and step out and serve them, invite them to church? Got a lot of opportunities coming up in Christmas here. I love that story of serving, not letting your flesh get in the way. And then the third barrier is the devil. You may serve the Lord, or you may serve the devil. You're going to serve somebody. The devil is real, and he will tempt you and keep you from serving. Jesus was tempted. If he was tempted, we're tempted, and he was. The devil led Jesus up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. This is a very interesting verse. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone as I want to. Aren't you glad Jesus said no to that? You know what's really cool? Is he didn't choose the food. He didn't choose the power. He didn't choose the glory. He chose you. Because if he chosen this, we wouldn't be here today. The devil tempted him, and he chose you. What are you going to do when you're tempted? Are you going to choose other people like Jesus did? If you want to serve like him, if you want to be a fat servant, you must. You have an enemy, and he wants to take you out. So let me ask you this question as we finish this section. Are you willing to selflessly serve other people? Are you willing to selflessly serve others like Jesus did? And resist the temptations of the world and the flesh and the devil. Let's go to the last point. So we're faithful, we're available, and then we're thankful. So that completes our FAT acronym, okay? We must be thankful. We've got to be thankful. When we serve, God wants us to be thankful, like some of the examples I read to you. Serve the Lord with what? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. That was the most unglad reading of the word gladness I've ever heard. Smile when you say it. It comes out better. Ready? Serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, so much better. Be thankful. Be cheerful. Again, I have four boys, and when we train them as little kids, we train them to obey. And here's how we train them to obey. They can tell you today. They were to obey quickly, cheerfully, and completely. If they didn't do all three, then they didn't obey, and they would be disciplined. And we would train them quickly, cheerfully, and completely. Cheerful had to be part of those little guys obeying. They couldn't pout and stomp their feet when they obeyed. They'd get spanked if they did. We would discipline them. Ooh, I said spank. It's okay. We did it under control and in love. And the boys turned out, by the way. If you want to talk about spanking, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you about spanking. Mother Teresa says this, holy living consists of doing God's work with a smile. Isn't that good? She is so awesome. We need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. When we're serving, to do it cheerfully, it's such a blessing for those that you serve. And there's two barriers we'll look at real quick here that keep us from serving cheerfully. The first one, obviously, is complaining and arguing. And the Bible talks about that. Complaining and arguing. Complaining and arguing has become an art form in our culture. It really has. I mean, if you've gone to college and ever eaten dorm food, what do they talk about around the tables while you're eating dorm food? They talk about how bad the dorm food is, which is really ironic when 90% of the world doesn't know where their next meal is going to come from, and we have somebody serving us hot food, delicious food, nutritious food, serving us on a plate and then cleaning up our meal, and we complain about it. It's become an art form. It's just become a habit for a lot of people. The Bible speaks to us as do everything without complaining. Have you obeyed that today? Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. If you want to stand out in your culture, at work, with your family, like a star in the universe, then simply do this one thing. Don't complain. Don't argue. Serve cheerfully. And you will stand out. You will have an impact. You want to impact people around you? Don't complain. They'll ask you, why are you so weird? You don't even complain. What? That's what you need to do. Good old Mark Twain, he had a take on this. He said, don't complain and talk about all your problems. 80% of the people don't care, and the other 20% will think you deserved it anyway. I think there's some truth in that. All right, second barrier that will keep us from being thankful and cheerful in our service is wrong motivations. Wrong motivations will keep you from being cheerful. When you do good deeds, Jesus says, don't try to show off. If you do, you won't get a reward from your Father in heaven. Understand you're working for an audience of one. You're serving God by serving people. It's not about you. It's about serving people. It's about serving God. If you want an antidote, if you sense in yourself selfishness, which I often do, if you want the cure, if you want the antidote for selfishness, then serve, do something, serve unseen. I'll often tell people if you're having a hard time serving somebody in particular, send them a gift anonymously. So there's no way they could figure it out to you. Send them money or send them a gift. Do something unseen. It has a way of crucifying your flesh. You're not going to get any glory for it. You're not going to get any props for it. Nobody's going to pat you on the back because you're going to do it where nobody sees it. And if you start getting a bunch of money in the mail this week anonymously, understand you might want to change your attitude because a lot of people have problems with you. Just saying. But understand this. Serving unseen is the best way to crucify your flesh. And I'm going to just go against my own advice there and share a story with you that to this day, it still helps my heart. And that is this, that cleaning toilets for me, ever since I was a Christian, there was something about it. I saw it as an opportunity to serve God. Because when I clean them, which I haven't had to do over the last decade because I've got four boys that do all of our chores, but now that they're moving out, I'm finding I have to jump back in the fray and I'm starting to clean toilets again with my other two boys that still live at home. But anyway, when I'm cleaning toilets, I'm right-handed. So I get the visual. I clean behind my toilets and around them and on the wall I with the sponge and the pine saw. And so when I'm reaching around, where's my face at? Just imagine that. And almost every time, God just almost taps me on the shoulder while my face is in the toilet. He almost taps me, and I'm like this. So I'm almost looking up anyway, and I almost always stop. Nobody else is in the room, and I say, I'm doing this for you, God. And I smile. I say, this is for you, and I mean it. I'm nobody would ever check back there. I'm cleaning this. I'm going to do a good job for you. And it's a way to crucify my flesh because it's so humbling and so gross. But at the same time, it gives me an opportunity to serve my God unnoticed. But he sees it, see? I believe that. I believe that he sees it. So let me ask you the last question. Do you serve joyfully? Do you serve joyfully? Do you? I hope you do. I know most of you do. Let's just finish up a summary here. You want to be fat for Jesus? You want to be a faithful, available, and thankful servant? Who wants to be fat tonight? Amen. Then you've learned some things. Maybe you have a practical thing. Maybe you need to fill this out, turn it in. I hope that you do. Listen, the only way we can serve God is by serving who? People. People. That's the only way you can truly serve God. That's the only way you can burn for God is by burning for people. God wants you to be a faithful servant. He wants you to be available. At the end of your life, this is what you want to hear right here as a servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't that what you want to hear? That's what I want to hear. Remember, say it with me. It's not about you. It's not about you. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the reminder that you created us to serve. You have put it in our very being to be servants. And I pray that you would help us in our lives to be faithful in our service, to be willing to be interrupted, to watch out for the entanglement of the world and materialism and our flesh, which just tends towards selfishness and the devil who doesn't want us to serve. I pray that we'd be like you, that we'd serve joyfully, without arguing, without complaining, that we would sign up to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, and so honor you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you say we'll be rewarded for that. What a blessing. What a kind God that we serve. We thank you. Help us all go out tonight serving joyfully, understanding it's not about us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.